Hello, my name is Mark Stavish, and welcome to the Institute for Hermetic Studies. This is our continued discussion and analysis of 12 Steps to Spiritual Enlightenment by Israel Gardy, also known as the One-Year Manual in later editions. And today we're going to be discussing Step 7, known as Christ's Breastplate. But before we begin, let us open in our customary manner with our opening gesture. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And our opening prayer. From thine hands, O Lord, cometh all good. From thy hands flow down all grace and blessing. As servants look unto their master, so our eyes look unto thee. For thou alone art our help, O Lord our God. Be with me now in this, the great work. Guide me and protect me as I open this thy temple for this work which I dedicate wholly to thee. It's good to spend some time on these opening and closing prayers and meditate on the words. Drive some meaning of them for yourself, both in an outer way, meaning that is our notion of an external deity that we pray to, but also an internal deity. You know, what is this thee and thine and O Lord? What is that aspect within us, which is ultimately what all this is about? Coming in time to contact with what we often call our higher self, our holy guardian angel. But really, that's our self made perfect. But really, it's just our self as we are, uncluttered, unconfined, unconstrained with habituated patterns and ideas and neuroses. What is that aspect of ourself that just naturally is? Hopefully you've had a tremendous amount of success with our previous practices. You've gotten to learn quite a bit about yourself, some things you're going to love and enjoy, some things you're not, but all of it is grist for the mill of your great work to transform and create yourself into the image of God, and then images of the deity which you adore. And we're going to get into that as we move through this course, the notion of devotion. Because most of our devotion here is to an abstract deity, or a God in the unformed nature. But for us, we often find that it's important to have a physical representation of deity, an image of some sort. And this is where we start getting into archetypes and symbols. But also, as I pointed out to you earlier, people can be archetypes for us because in a way we are. Archetypes aren't abstract. They incarnate. They take on form. There's no separation between the visible and the invisible, just a series of gradations and energies and intelligences that are all interconnected and interweaving. And through our action, that is our karma, our action and its result, we begin to shape our form, ourselves, into the form and image that we desire. We create our lives and express ourselves in a manner that is best for us and surprisingly harmonious with others. Things become easier for us in many ways by taking on the difficult work of self-realization. And in that difficulty, experiencing the joy of success and self-realization. Now, step 7 is the first real ritual that we get into with this book. And it is important because as we move away from inner work, as we'll call it, this notion of relaxation, self-reflection, and into ritual, we can only get out of the ritual the degree that we have put into this otherwise interior reflective practice. So many people start ritual magic and they want to get right into the ritual part, the ceremonial part, because it's fun, it's exciting. But what they don't often realize is that that can only work to the degree that they have integrated themselves internally. A feedback loop is developed between what we do externally and what is happening internally, what is happening internally and what we're doing externally. And this isn't just limited to magic. This is in our daily life. Just let that sink in. This is in our daily life. This feedback loop is constantly taking place. That's why the more we know ourselves, the better control we have over ourselves, the more willing we are to stretch ourselves and overcome our narrow, limited sense of limitations in self and try new things and be a little risky in a healthy way. That's when we're going to find that ritual magic becomes very productive for us and very worthwhile because we're willing to take the burden on ourselves and ritual becomes a tool, a means to the end, rather than often looking at ritual as some kind of mechanical device that will automatically work for us. Now, there are some rituals in which we deal with external forces or entities. That's true. However, even in the way we relate to those external entities, should it be an angel, a demon, an elemental, even another person, a dead person that we call upon to help us in our work, that will only be as effective as we understand ourselves. So please let that sink in. That's why this is so important. And your relationships to the living, even to your pet, cat or dog or hamster, can only be as effective as you understand yourself. So this is very important work. Now, let's move forward with Christ's breastplate. A new type of work will be introduced in order to avoid the possibility of boredom or of slipping into the dull rut of routine. Most of the previous work has been subjective. Now, the present work, the student will make his first tentative exploration into the simplest form of ritual where both subjective and physical activities become combined. This exercise is called Christ's breastplate. It has its roots in several diverse traditions, which are being amalgamated in one single ritual gesture. I suggest that the student obtain some sticks of incense. It doesn't really matter what kind or what fragrance they give off. You could visit any one of the local oriental or psychedelic stores and savor a variety of the incense sticks, finally selecting one that pleases him the most. The next thing is to practice with a stick of incense, making a form of the cross with a circle inside. The imagination must be used when tracing this cross so that it can be called the Rose Cross. Hold out the incense stick in the right hand at about the level of the eyes and trace a straight line down, stopping somewhere opposite the knees. While tracing this vertical line, visualize it in pale blue, not too dissimilar to the color produced by burning alcohol. Then bring the arm and stick to a level opposite the right shoulder and move over to the left shoulder. This too should be visualized in the pale blue as clearly as possible. Disengage the incense stick from the crossbar and point it at the vertical bar about halfway between the crossbar and at the beginning point of the vertical bar. From this point, trace a circle moving to the right and downwards and then up and the left to complete the circle. This completes the Rose Cross. It should appear to the imagination something like this. And of course, the book has a diagram. Many of you are familiar with the Rose Cross ritual from the Golden Dawn, and it is quite simple to do. As he says, from approximately the head down to the knees, from the right over to the left, and then starting approximately at the left bar at the bottom, you just circle around and you're done. Now, he says to do this in pale blue. Many of you will be familiar with the notion of doing it in gold, along with the circle in red. This is to bring the energies to the level of Tiferet, and this can be very helpful and productive to you in other ways. So I want to share that with you, that there are two different color schemes that you may often come into when dealing with this ritual. Personally, I do it in gold and red, but the book does say to do it in that pale blue color. Two sacred names should be pronounced or vibrated in the process of tracing the figure. Both are Kabbalistic in origin, dating from the Middle Ages, while both are variants of the name of Jesus in the Hebrew tongue. The exact meaning and symbolism of others are of no concern to us at this present moment. The names are Yeheshua and Yehovashah. The first name should be vibrated while tracing the cross, that is both the upright and crossbars, and the second name should be voiced during the formation of the circle. Practice making the cross in the above described manner and vibrating the two names until there is not a moment's doubt as to what you're doing. When this skill has been achieved, then you can proceed to the full ritual. And I'll do this for you. Yeshua, Yehovisha. Yod Heshua, Yehovisha. Notice I did it slightly differently with each one. You're going to find the vibratory tone that's best for you. Often the suggestion is, we'll see as we go, that the notion is to keep it steady and firm. However, that is the suggestion. We hear it repeated a lot in people who are only book learned in the Golden Dawn. It is not the rule. It is the suggestion. You may find that singing it brings more juice to you. And what you want to do is you want to feel the vibration in your solar plexus. If you feel it there, then you're good. Also, another point of feeling it would be the throat, which is very good, but also the point between the eyebrows. Now, if you practice this, and I strongly encourage you to, you'll be able to feel it vibrating in all three at the same time, and pow, that's really going to work for you. In fact, you'll be able to get it where you don't have to do it loud. Some people feel that vibrating a name is almost shouting it. It's not. You'll be able to feel the vibration popping in your palms of your hands and the soles of your feet across your body with just some effort and some practice in this. So again, we'll go, Yeshua, Yehovah Shah, Yeshua, Yehovah Shah, Yeshua, Yehovah Shah. Notice the different ways I pronounced it. And I can tell you right now, those first two that you heard in this second set were far more potent for me than that kind of monotone vibration. That's why I want to spend some time on this with you. Practice, practice, practice. You'll find a great vibration and really going to work for all the names that you do. Okay, now face east. East is going to be geographic east, but it's also wherever your temple is located. So the temple, wherever you're facing, we'll call the spiritual or mystic east or orient, okay? Place the lighted incense on the altar or table in front of you. Raise and extend your arms out from your sides, forming a cross. Step one, intone the following invocation. Christ be with me, Christ within me. Christ behind me, Christ before me. Christ beside me, Christ to win me. Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Christ in quiet, Christ in danger. Christ in hearts of all that love me, come in mouth of friend and stranger. Now return your arms to the side. Pause and reflect upon the meaning intrinsic to that invocation. Now extend the right arm in front of you, and with the lighted incense stick, trace the first rose cross in the east. Vibrate softly but powerfully the two sacred names as you do this. Point the stick of incense to the center of the cross. Move towards the right and facing south, trace another rose cross, vibrating the same names. What we're doing here is we're tracing the cross and we're pointing the incense at its center to show that there is a connection between us, and we're forming a line actually. So you're forming a line from in front of you, now to the south, which is going to be to your right, and you're forming another cross, okay? Now pointing the incense to the center of the cross, move towards the right facing the west, trace another rose cross, vibrating names. Okay, so now this would be behind where you originally started at, because now turning in a circle. Pointing the incense to the center of the cross, move towards the right facing north, trace another rose cross, vibrating the divine names. Now pointing the incense stick to the center of the cross, move towards the right, thus returning to the east, and thrust the incense stick to the center of the rose cross of the east, thereby completing the circle. So you've made a circle around yourself of these crosses. From this point, raise the arm and incense stick towards the ceiling, moving towards the west, but stopping halfway between east and west. Trace towards the ceiling another rose cross, vibrating the two names. Very simple. You've traced them all around you, and now you're looking forward to where you started, the so-called east that we're calling, and now you're moving up. You're forming an arc. You're moving up. And right above your head, which would be the halfway point, you trace another one, and then you turn. And then you move, drop down towards the west, and you connect this. You're connecting these two rose crosses before you and behind you through the cross which you've made above you. Okay? Now, as you go to the west and you touch this imaginatively, the center of this cross that you've previously made, you then lower your arm, moving back to the east, but stopping at the center, pointing to the floor, and trace another rose cross and vibrate the names. So you see what you've done. You've made first your circle around you, and now you've made an arc above you with a cross, and now you're making one below you with a cross, and you come back to the east. Now you move to the south, again, to the right, to the south, and you raise your arm. And you see what you're doing? You're doing the same thing over again. You're going back up to that cross you previously made on the ceiling. You trace another one right on it. You know, there's not two of them there. There's just one of them. You're just tracing it again. You vibrate the names and you proceed to the north, touching the center. Now you do the same thing. You lower your arm. You come to the bottom where you've previously made it. You trace over it again, vibrate your names, and go back to the south. So what you've done now is you formed. You're standing in place as you do this. Now remember, you're pivoting on your axis. You're not walking in the circle. You've made four crosses around you and one above and below you, and you've linked yourself in this sphere of light through these lines. Now, with these gestures, you resulted in the tracing of a rose cross symbol all around you in every cardinal quarter above and below you. From the south, extend the arm and incense stick and walk, moving to the right, back to the east. So you just turn around. And of course, well, he's saying walk. So you could do this walking. I'm used to doing it standing in place for that obvious reason that I said to you, but he's saying to do it walking in a circle. So you have an option there if you have limited space. Forgive me for that. And you walk back to the east and completing the circle of the place. Then proceed with the second part of the invocation. Extend the arms in the form of the cross. Now, I just want to stop here. Those of you who are familiar with the Rose Cross ritual as given in the Golden Dawn lectures will notice instead of forming a circle, you form essentially a rectangle or shoebox or even a square. So this is using the same symbol, the same words, but a different form is being made. It is using a circle rather than a shoebox or a square. Extend the arms in the form of the cross and repeat this prayer. Unto thee, soul wise, soul mighty, and soul eternal one, be praise and glory forever. Thou who hast permitted me to enter thus far into the sanctuary of the mysteries, not unto me, but unto thy name be the glory. Let the influence of thy divine ones descend upon my head and teach me the value of self-sacrifice, so that I shrink not in the hour of trial, but that thus my name be written on high and my genius stand in the presence of the Holy One in that hour when the Son of Man is invoked before the Lord of Lords. Amen. Lower the arms and sit down quietly in a chair in the center of the circle. Achieve relaxation and rhythmic breathing by the use of the command for the conditioned reflex that we've gone over. Once relaxation has occurred, meditate upon the meaning of the ritual and of the opening and closing invocations. This ritual should be performed twice a day for the current month and should never be done hastily or perfunctorily, but slowly, solemnly, and reverently. The student should allow at least half an hour for the performance of the ritual, followed by its related meditations. This is a spectacular ritual, and I strongly encourage you to become very skilled in it, because you can also do it mentally once you get good at it, around yourself in the place where you may sleep. It's very good for calming the nerves of the mind, or creating a circle of, we'll say, protection around us if we're visiting someplace or staying in a motel or hotel or B&B somewhere. I know many of you have asked me about that, where you have trouble sleeping somewhere new, but also you say, what about the vibrations here? We have all these people coming through. Doesn't this have an effect on me? And yes, it may. And a ritual like this is a wonderful one to have available to you to use at any time, anywhere. Do it while you're waiting for the bus. Do it around your cube at work. Okay. Do it anywhere, anytime you can, because what it is calling upon, and we'll get into this at a later point, is the natural and inherent energies of what is called Tiferet, or that sphere, that energies within us of our natural self, in which we are in harmony with all of the forces visible and invisible. We're not quite masters yet, if you want to call it that, but we're very, very close to it, okay? There's a level, high level of mastery involved, not perfection, but a high level of mastery. And we're able to create conditions around us that are healthy and beneficial for us. So whereas some rituals are about banishing or getting rid of forces. This is about harmonizing forces. And I think that's very important to understand, because we're often told to do the lesser banishing ritual, the pentagram, do it, you know, 20 times a day for 6 months. And what people find out is their life falls apart because they're getting rid of all this stuff. They're banishing, banishing, banishing. They're getting rid of. This is different. This is harmonizing. So you can do this anywhere at any time. And I encourage you to, once again, do it twice a day for about 30 minutes. And as you get better at it, simply allow yourself to take 4 or 5 minutes or 10 minutes to do it when you're sitting somewhere, and notice the effect it has upon you and on those around you. Well, thank you very much. And I look forward to hearing from you and your wonderful experiences as we continue down the path of enlightenment. So let us close today with our closing prayer and closing gesture. Unto thee, soul wise, soul mighty, and soul eternal one, be praise and glory forever. Thou who hast permitted me to enter thus far into the sanctuary of the mysteries, not unto me, but unto thy name be the glory. Be my mind open to the higher, be my heart a center of the light, be my body a temple of the Holy Ghost. And I close thy temple with humble thanks and gratitude for thy help and inspiration. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. And until next time, may the gods bless.